Philippians chapter 3. Now, Paul is going to make some declarations in his letter to the Romans in the passage that we're going to read in just a few moments. And I just want us to get this background so that when we read that, we'll have some understanding as to where he's coming from. Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to begin to read in verse 1 and read a few verses. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. He's talking here about the Jews. The word concision means the cutting off of the flesh. And he's referring here to the Judaizers that wanted to require all the Gentile Christians to be circumcised. That's why the use of that word. For we, Paul says, we are the real circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now see, the Jewish man of his day would have his confidence wrapped up in the fact that he was a Jew, that he was a child of Abraham. Remember, that's the way they were when John the Baptist preached. And John really rebuked them. He called them vipers. Jesus had the same problem with them. And they said, well, Abraham's our father, that makes us okay with God. You know, it's because of who my ancestors are that I'm okay with God. Paul's saying here, we have no confidence in the flesh, who we are in the natural. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. If anybody thinks that they could have confidence in the flesh, I most of all. Because I really had it all going for me in the natural realm. And then he goes on to tell us a little bit about his background. I was circumcised the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel. I'm a descendant of Jacob. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In other words, I was the most Jewish guy you ever knew. As touching the law or concerning the law of Moses, I was a Pharisee, which is the most dedicated, the most committed, the most absolutely surrendered to the law of Moses that there was in all Jewry. I was among that group. Concerning zeal, if you want to talk about whether I was zealous for God or not, I was. I was out persecuting the church. That's how zealous I was. I was killing Christians, and I was taking the rest of them and putting them in jail. I was zealous for God. As concerning touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. I had done everything perfectly in my life. I had perfect obedience to the law of Moses. There was no blame in me. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, all of those things, I consider them worthless when it comes to what they count for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, horse manure, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, or faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. All Paul's letters were concentrated on this subject. He compared the righteousness which comes by faith with the righteousness that people were trying to obtain by being good and by being holy and by trying to live right. What he's saying is, if anybody had a right to have right standing with God on the basis of his heritage and on the basis of his religion and on the basis of his personal holiness, he said, I was the most Jewish of all the Jews. But he said, when I heard about Jesus and when I found him, I take all the rest of this that I had tried to do all my life to try to earn me a place with God, and I throw it all out in the manure pile just so that I might have Jesus. Okay, now, this is where Paul is. This is where his heart is. And let's go back now to Romans 9, because here you're going to hear Paul's heart. And Paul's heart is breaking for his Jewish brothers. In fact, some of you, how many of you used to be Baptists? You see your hands. How many of you used to be Methodists? How many of you used to be Presbyterians? How many of you used to be Catholics? How many of you used to be Episcopalians? Any Lutherans in here? Some Lutherans, yes. Now, when you came to know Jesus in a personal way, don't you have a concern for the people that are in the churches that you left? I do. I really feel so. I mean, I love those people. I cared about those people. They're precious to me. And when I found the truth, I didn't say, bye-bye, burn my bridges, and I don't care about you. I got mine. You take care of yourself. No, I hurt for them because they're still bound. And if it wasn't but for the grace of God, I would still be in that mess. I would still be believing that I could be saved by being good enough, that I could, by my personal holiness and by the things that I did and my performance, that I could find acceptability with God. I would still be held in that bondage. And boy, that's a slavery. And that's where Paul was. His heart was breaking for his Jewish brethren because he knew many good Jews. You know many good Baptists, don't you, that really love God? You know some good Methodists that really love God. You know some good Pentecostal people, some good Church of God, Assembly of God, Church of God of Prophecy, and so on, Foursquare people. You know some people like that who really love God, but they're still enslaved, aren't they? And doesn't your heart hurt for them as mine does for my Presbyterian brethren? Yes. Well, Paul's heart was breaking for his Jewish brethren. Listen to what he said. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites. He said, if I could, by giving up my salvation for theirs, I would do it. Who does that sound like? Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? I mean, that's exactly what he did. He became as we were so that we could become as he was. Yeah. And that's the spirit of Jesus in Paul. He's saying, I know I can't do this, but I'm so brokenhearted for my Jewish brethren. He said, I watch them. I watch them do their prayers three times a day. I watch them with their broad fringes and their phylacteries that they're wearing. I watch them go to temple and synagogue on a regular basis. I watch them sacrifice their animals and go through all of their gizmos. I watch my Roman Catholic brethren going over the rosary. I see my Catholic brethren going down the road with the statues in their cars, and it breaks my heart. I watch my Baptist brethren who think that if they got saved by grace, but they're going to get lost. They're going to get lost if they don't live right. I bleed and hurt and break in my heart for my Pentecostal brethren who have tasted of the Holy Ghost and still think that God's going to love me less if I smoke a cigarette or if I get angry with my wife or if I lose my temper. That's what's going on inside him here. And he's saying, I know that I cannot do it for them. Jesus already did it for them. And if they're rejecting his sacrifice, they would also reject mine. But that still does not help me. It breaks my heart to see what they're doing. They are trying to find a relationship with God, but they cannot find it. Verse number 4. They are the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. In other words, these were God's original chosen. To them pertains the glory. The glory of God dwelt among them. To them pertain the covenants. God gave covenants with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and then through Moses. They are entitled above all the people on the face of the earth to the blessings of God. To them pertain the giving of the law. Nobody, do you understand? Nobody else in the whole world knew anything about God except the Jews. Do you understand that God only gave his word to the Jews? The rest of the world, we look at them and we say, How could they be so stupid? How could the Greeks have worshipped Zeus? How could the Romans have worshipped Romulus and Remus? How could the hordes from the steppes of Asia, how could they have worshipped the sun and the moon and the trees? How could the Indians in America had worshipped the Great Spirit and worshipped the buffalo and worshipped all of these crazies? I mean, we look at that, we say, that doesn't make any sense. What other choice did they have? What else are they going to worship? The revelation of God Almighty came to the Jews. Are you listening? Paul said, my heart is breaking. They had everything going for them. God chose them not because, remember what Moses said? Not because you're the greatest people in the earth, but you're the least, you're the most miserable. It's because of God's love. That's why he chose you. They had everything going for them. The glory of God dwelt among them. Where did the glory of God live during the time before Christ? Where did it dwell? Holy of Holies, above the mercy seat, which was the lid upon the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the glory was. And where Israel was, that is where the glory of God was. That's what he's referring to here. They had the law, to whom was given the privilege, I'm adding the words here, of the service of God. They were privileged to serve God. And to them pertaineth the promises. All the promises were given them. In fact, the promise of the Messiah was given to whom? Was given to the Jews, wasn't it? They were the ones who were the recipient or the objects of the promises of God. Whose, verse 5, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came? In other words, of all of the things God did in the Jews, it was through the Jews that Jesus the Messiah came. And now this next phrase is really a powerful one. Who is over all, God blessed forever. If you want to find out, if you want to see a verse, I mean there are many, but if you want to have a verse available in your Bible to prove to someone that the Bible teaches that Jesus is God. See, some of the cults today say Jesus is not the God, he's a God. He's one among many. Others of the cults say he is just a wonderful man. He's not God at all. The Bible says he is the God. Now, we all know John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the 14th verse says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and glory, or full of something or other, wonderful things. Talking obviously about Jesus. The Word was with God and the Word was God and the Word became flesh. That means God became flesh. Isn't that right? Jesus is God. You see that very clearly. But that is so obvious that some of our cult friends have changed their Bibles. The Jehovah's Witnesses, I believe, have changed that verse, that first verse, the Word was a God. Not the Word was God. But the Jehovah Witnesses don't know all the places in the Bible that show Jesus Christ as God. This, I believe, is one of them. This verse clearly tells us that Christ is over all God. Blessed forever. Does that verse say that to you? See, you're not ever going to be saved if you don't think Jesus is God. So you've got to accept him as God himself. That's the problem with the Jews. See, the Jews believe in Jehovah God, but they do not believe that Jesus is that God come in the flesh. They're still waiting for their Messiah to come, and they have no idea that he's going to be God come in the flesh. They're looking for someone like David to come with, you know, somebody and go out there and take Goliath's head off. That's the kind of Messiah they're looking for. That's why they rejected Jesus. Because they weren't looking for God coming in the flesh. They were looking for a warrior king like they'd had in the past. And they rejected the one that God sent. So this verse just real clear, and you ought to highlight that in your Bible and remember where this is Romans 9:5 is a place where you can go where the Bible clearly says that Jesus Christ is in fact God. Not a God, but the God. He is over all God to be blessed forever. And then Paul says, if you're not sure that that statement is a profound, important statement, then why do you think Paul said at the end of it, amen? Amen. And he might have said, amen, amen, and amen. You know, double, triple, quadruple, amen. You know what amen means. So be it. That's the way it is. Okay, verse 6. Now, here he is expressing the brokenness of his heart and the depth of his passion and compassion for the Jew. And then he says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. In other words, just because, you know, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying here. God did give Israel the law. He did give them the promises. He did give them the covenants. He did give them the offer of adoption and the glory and the service of God and so on. And it is true that they have rejected it, but that doesn't mean that the word of God did not take effect. Well, how did it take effect then, would be a good question. And here's how. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. In other words, all of the Jews are not just those who are the seed of Jacob. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all the children. But in Isaac, quote, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. This is what God had said in Genesis, the 21st chapter. Remember when Abraham was concerned about his seed and his offspring? You remember he had a child through natural generation, which his name was? Say it, please. Ishmael. And Abraham thought that he would help God out, you know, bring his promise to pass. And God said, no, not through Ishmael will your seed be numbered, but your seed will be numbered through your son Isaac, because Isaac was produced without you doing it. Isaac is the child of promise. Ishmael is the child of your own works. Ishmael is the child of your own efforts. Ishmael is the child of your own machinations. Ishmael is the child of your doing. And Ishmael is not going to be named among your seed, and your seed is not coming from him. The children who are going to obtain the promise I gave you, the manner of women, she wasn't ovulating. It was impossible. Do you understand? It was impossible for Sarah to have a baby. Physically impossible. She was not equipped to have a baby. She had long ceased that. They had tried, obviously, and it hadn't worked. They had not been able to have a baby. See, getting saved is like this. You can try to get saved. You can try to get saved on the basis of your goodness and on the basis of your efforts and so on, and all you're going to have is Ishmael in your life. But see, when you accept the salvation that God's given you by promise, then you're going to get Isaac in your life. That's what this whole business is about. And so what Paul is quoting here is quoting God speaking to Abraham when Abraham said, I reject your efforts. I reject your plans. I reject your schemes. And I reject your plan of salvation. I reject your plan of coming into my family. I reject all of that. Your family and my family are going to be increased on the basis of the power of my promise, not on the basis of the strength of your works. So I said to him, in Isaac is your seed going to be called. That is, verse 8, here comes a further explanation. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now we're coming to a place here that if I take the subject that is being brought up here in this 11th verse, we're going to be here for another hour and a half, and so I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to stop right there.